listeners, in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to our program today as we declare, souls are crying and men are dying. Let us work diligently to win the lost. This is Sharon Knotts, and on today's program, I'm ministering on the topic, the three laws of recompense. They are the law of wrath, which only pertains to the ungodly, the law of chastening, which only pertains to God's children, and the law of sowing and reaping, which is universal and pertains to everyone and to every aspect of life, and sometimes it overlaps the others. I believe you will receive answers to many of the whys we often ask. Now, at the close of the program, I'll tell you how you can get a copy of The Three Laws of Recompense.
But he said, if you will endure the chastening of the Lord, if you will endure it. See, some people won't endure it. It's conditional. Some people don't receive correction from God. But he said, if you will endure it, understand he's dealing with you as a son. And the word deal there means to bring you to a particular place. He's dealing with you. He's reasoning with you to bring you to a place. And the place he's trying to bring you to is a place of recognition of what you've done, contrition, and repentance. Because that is God's aim, is to bring us to the place that we understand so that we can learn our lesson and not have to repeat these things. He goes on to say, but if you don't receive chastisement, and then he says it again, whereof we are all partakers. And Paul was being careful to include himself. Nobody likes anybody to preach down at them. You want to make an enemy of the whole congregation? Get up here if you're the preacher and just preach down at the people. They'll be leaving real quick. Why? Because you're saying, well, they must have the wrong spirit. No, you don't preach down at anybody. You realize this is for me too. I'm in the same boat. We're fellowship. How many are fellowship? That means we're all fellows in the same ship. Amen. I'm in the same boat. Sometimes I have to receive chastisement from the Lord. Amen. And anybody that gets in the pulpit and puts themselves above that, they're not telling the truth. Amen. So I always try to be careful that whenever I have to deliver a stern word, and if the Holy Ghost gives it to me to deliver, I've already gotten past wrestling. I've gotten past that. I got the victory. I deliver what he gives me to deliver. But I always try to make sure that I include myself. And this is what, because when you give somebody a stern word, it's not easy to swallow. Come on, let's fess up. It's not easy to swallow it, even though in your heart you know it's real. You know it's truth. And when you're going through that inside you, you got that little tug of war going on. All your flesh wants to do is find something to jump at, to grab hold on, to try to ease the conviction. And if you can feel resentment against the person up here speaking, then your flesh is saying, And all that does is trying to relieve the conviction. I mean, you're deceiving yourself. You're not doing yourself a favor. But this is how the flesh works. Amen? So Paul was saying, if you don't receive chastisement, and by the way, that includes me. We're all partakers. Anybody that's not a partaker is not a son. You're not a son, but you're illegitimate. And if you're illegitimate, okay, forget about all those messages. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. And I have all things that pertain to my life and my godliness. And God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Just take most of the New Testament and get rid of it. Because you're illegitimate. And it's for his children. Amen? So how many see here what he's saying? The father that does not discipline a child, the mother that does not discipline her child, you have to wonder, do they really care? Do they really care? Do they care that their child is going to go to school and nobody's going to like them? Do they care that their child is going to spend more time in the principal's office than in his classroom because he can't get along with anybody? Because he can't take or receive instruction? Because he's been let to have his way? And the Bible says a son who is allowed to have his way and is not corrected brings his mother shame. Have you ever thought to yourself, if you don't get a handle on that kid, I feel sorry for you when they go to school. Wow, do I feel sorry for you when they hit their teens and they're up in your face telling you what they're going to do. It's a little too late then to try to tell them to shut up. Amen? So you see, God deals with us as children because he loves us. Now he says, now come on, let me reason with you. Your earthly parents corrected you. And sometimes they really let you have it. Amen? He said, but you received it and you gave them reverence. And I know here it sounds a little weird, so let me clear this up for you. Because it says that they did it for their own pleasure. And please don't misunderstand that. That sounds sadistic. That is not what it means. It does not mean that the parent got pleasure out of beating the child, whipping the child, or correcting the child. Amen. It does not mean that. That is against the word of God. After his pleasure meant according to his will. Many times in the New Testament, you can take the word pleasure and will and interchange them. It is God who worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure or according to his will. Amen. So here it's talking about that the parent corrected the child according to their will. That is according to what seemed good to them. What seemed the right way to handle the situation and the correction that they were meeting out to the child. And he goes on to reason to say, now they did this for a few days. Or, you know, we're only under them for 18 years. Only for a short time we came under our parents' discipline. But now, how much more should we come under the discipline of our Heavenly Father, the Father of life, because he is doing it for our profit. And what is the profit? That we might be partakers of his holiness. How many know that one song? It's just coming to me. I'm trying to think of it. I think his name is Micah Stampley. You know that one song he sings, Holiness? Holiness is a powerful song. Very powerful. Amen. That's what I want. That's what I want. How many want God's holiness? To even imagine that we could be partakers of God's holiness. Oh, amazing grace, like we sang. But part of that process is coming under God's discipline. Amen. He said, now, for the present, it is not joyful. It is grievous. Amen. That's why I said a little while ago, there have been times I would have gladly had the Lord come down and give me a switch. Have you ever been in that place of chastening where your soul was just so filled with the feeling of regret and the feeling of remorse and you're so sorry and you'd unrepented 400 times and you're still, you know, just, oh, Lord. And God allows us to feel that because it is so uncomfortable. I don't like that feeling. And I told the Lord already, I hate that feeling more than any other feeling I've ever felt. So if you can do anything to help me not get there, please do. Amen? But if I sometimes get in the flesh, get easily provoked, let Satan provoke me like he did Moses, and he spoke ill-advisedly with his lips. Amen? And he had to pay a price. Amen. And I'll talk about that in a minute when we get to the next law. But Lord, I know that if I can get through this, oh, the joy that comes afterward. See, the joy that you feel afterward is commensurate with the grief you felt during the time of the spanking. You feel so much joy and elation afterwards when God lavishes his love on you. Amen. Because the amount of anguish and grief that you felt, in that you are able then to feel the same amount of joy and victory when it's all over with. Amen? How many are following it? So we see that afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It's the fruit of righteousness and peace. We are partakers of his holy nature. Let's just quickly, before we go on, let's look at one person. How many know that Peter really loved the Lord? Amen? But how many know he denied Jesus 3 times? And Jesus even warned him. Has God ever warned you about not saying or doing something or going somewhere? Don't confront that person about this situation. Leave it to me. Don't call that person up. Don't go on your job and march into the boss's office and give him a piece of your mind. Has God ever warned you in your spirit, don't do it, leave it to me? Don't force this issue. Don't try to make this. Leave it to me. And yet you went ahead and did it anyway. How many ever did that? Some of you people need to get delivered from lying. See, I had my hand up first. I'm not preaching at you. Well, see, this, he warned Peter. He said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, nah, not me. I'll go to jail with you. I'll die with you. But we all know what happened. But nevertheless, Jesus said, and when you're converted, when you get the victory, go and strengthen your brethren, because I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Now, Peter failed. Peter failed. But his faith did not fail. Amen? Because if his faith had failed him, he would not have been able to have repentance. And that's the danger. That's why Jesus prayed for him. He didn't say, I'm praying for you that you will not do this, because he was going to do it. But you know, you got to be careful that after you have made that mistake, after you have done that thing, and you have repented, that you do not let the devil continually come and put condemnation on you. That's the devil. If you've repented and you're sincere, that he will forgive you, cleanse you, and wash you. And after that, there should be no more condemnation on you. But sometimes people will let the devil beat them up, and they won't forgive themselves. And they get stuck in that place. And they can't go on to victory. But Jesus said, I pray that your faith will not fail.
Amen. Friends, I hope you have been blessed and spiritually enlightened by our message, The Three Laws of Recompense, which are the law of wrath, which only pertains to the ungodly, the law of chastening, which only pertains to the children of God, and the law of sowing and reaping, which is a seminal and universal principle that pertains to everyone and to every aspect of life, physical, natural, relational, spiritual, and financial, just to name a few. In our very troubled and even calamitous world, we often hear and perhaps even ask those difficult questions. If there is a God and he is good, why are so many bad things happening? And what about the righteous, God's children? Why do they experience bad things? And then there's the problem of the ungodly who do wickedly and seem to get away with it. What's up with that? It doesn't seem fair, does it? I believe we can find answers to these and to many other objections people have about the way things seem to go in life when we look at these three clearly defined and biblical laws. There is great comfort for the obedient, instruction for the humble, and warning to the disobedient. The Three Laws of Recompense is available on CD for a love gift to the radio ministry of $10 or more. Please ask for order number SK150. That's SK as in Sharon Knotts, 150. Remember, your love gift helps us to support the radio ministry and pay for the airtime on this station. Send your request for Three Laws of Recompense, order number SK150, and a love gift of at least $10 to R.G. Hardy Ministries, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. That's P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland, 21203. Or you may order online at rghardy.org. God bless you, and until next time, Maranatha. With